I know. Could we not make it a 2-hour episode this week?
I know you haven't looked at the outline, but if you did look at the
outline, that's funny. I did. Whoa!
And welcome to That Pixel Life. This is episode 118, recording December 13th, 2020. And Lord, do we have stuff to discuss this week. Because it was Disney Investor Call Week, and so Disney dropped Star Wars, Marvel, Disney stuff that we don't really care about, but still, Star Wars and Marvel goodness all over the place. Also, video games happened. There were video game awards and announcements happened there. So we have all of that to talk about, and some video games we're playing while we are at it. And to do that, I have with me, as always, Mr. Shannon Moore. Shannon.
Hello. I'm just thinking you could probably just skip me this week and come back when you're on episode 119, because that's where the rest of us are in our story arc. But, you know, I mean.
Is that counting the negative episode? Is my counting off?
Yeah. So the 117 Redux was the sub episode where I wasn't there. And then, I just kind of went back to it because we already did 117. So I doubled down on that one. But you know, it's okay.
So this is episode 119 then.
Yeah.
Hello everyone. also joining me is Mr. Justin Time Carter. Justin, how you going?
Pretty good. You know, I'm so proud that after, you know, before I was actually a part of the podcast, it was my job to ingrain to Shannon what episode you guys were on. And I would post constantly on Twitter, like, what episode it should have been. And now
I remember that. Those were good times.
Exactly. And then now Shannon's, like, all my, like, shit posting on Twitter is, like, ingrained into Shannon's soul at this point. And now he's, like, never going to drop the ball on that again.
Well, it is funny now that you're a part of the show, how easily you just drop that. Like, you didn't even catch it last week. You were just like, I'm gonna let this one slide.
No, see, that's the thing though, is I did catch it because I look on, like, I don't listen to the podcast since I am a part of it now or whatever, but I still go through on like Spotify and stuff, and I'll play it and stuff to boost the numbers so Shannon will shut the fuck up. And, like, I mean, I noticed the number inconsistency, but I was willing to let it go.
Well, I do appreciate both of your attention to details. Apparently it's attention I do not have. But hey, here we are. No, you even
put it on the Google outline. Like,
I was just about to say, so the thing that's funny is I got the number right when I created the outline. But then when I made my opening paragraph, I fucked it up. So it's been a special day, guys. It's been a day. And here we are. So where should we start? I vote that we start with a little Star Wars, considering none of us are the biggest Star Wars people, even though Shannon likes to role play as one on the weekends. But none of us are in that Robbie sphere, so forgive us any inconsistencies and brevity as we move forward with some Star Wars. Did you guys see Mandalorian this week?
No, I've been trying to watch it, and then every time I try to get to sit down and do it, I fall asleep. It's been one of those weeks for me, too.
Dude, I feel you. No, it's a good one this week. We obviously won't spend any time on it since Shannon hasn't seen it. But I am here for John Wick Mandalorian, which is look like where this is setting up. So give me that. I'm good. Justin, did you catch it at all?
No, I haven't got to watch it this week either. But isn't there one more episode after the one that came out on Friday? Isn't there only 8 episodes? Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. So we're getting good. I have a good suspicion that we're not going to get any resolution this year, and we're going to have to wait for next season, but we'll find out. In the meantime, during this earnings call, where they were dropping nuggets left and right about the future of Star Wars and Marvel and other things, it was confirmed that The Mandalorian is getting two spinoffs, count them two, including Rangers of the New Republic. That's going to be another Favreau joint. And the Ahsoka spinoff with Rosario Dawson, which as soon as she showed up on the screen, everyone was like, oh, she's getting a show. That's happening. I feel pretty good about those. I like that Favreau's still involved with the new project. And then Ahsoka has a big enough following that I'm guessing that's going to be fine. Then also there's going to be a Lando series, which is going to be more of like a mystery thriller called The Acolyte, which is set in the High Republic days, you know, pre-Empire, all that good stuff. There's the animated show called The Bad Batch, which logo I will never read correctly on the first try. Every time I see it, I see Bad Bitch. And that's about a group of rogue stormtroopers. Visions, which is going to be an anime anthology of short films, a.k.a. Zach will never watch that. And if C-3PO, R2-D2 animated spinoff called A Droid Story. Any of those jumping out to you guys as Disney Plus, I've got to keep the subscription to watch off the bat.
I would go with Bad Batch, especially if they kind of made it like, you know, that back in like the PS2, like early PS3 days, they had like Bad Company, I think is what it was for the PlayStation, that shoot a first person shoot 'em up. But it was kind of like it had a lot of comedy to it. You know, around like the military or like the aspects of it, like, you know, the banter between the whole troop was what kept me playing that game. And I would like to see that kind of implemented in the, like, the Star Wars universe with this rogue squadron of stormtroopers. I'll give it a go, but like, dude, like, I don't care about Lando, like, and his like thing. And the,
I thought C-3PO. You liked Lando. I thought you were a Lando guy.
He's all right, like, but like, you know, I mean, if he doesn't drink a Colt like like somewhere in there, I'm not gonna watch it. But like the droid story, like, I could care less. Like, I think C-3PO would get on my nerves after a while. And R2-D2, like, you know, I don't need that. But you know, the Obi-Wan series, I'm interested in. You know, I would like to see Hayden Christensen come back and do something with the Darth Vader character that's better written.
That was like the final big reveal, was that the Obi-Wan series is confirmed and Ewan McGregor is still Obi-Wan, and they're bringing back Hayden Christensen to be Darth Vader in it. Which, interesting.
It is. I mean, are they going to put him back in lifts again? Because they basically had to put him in lifts because he wasn't tall enough for the scenes that he was in the original movies.
He's got two fake legs now. He can be as tall as he wants to be, man. He's got fake.
He's got fake legs in the series, not fake legs in real life, dude.
Give it time. I mean,
if they want to throw him on stilts now, it's like, yeah, that's just his legs. Who cares?
Like, I mean, they were able to make, you know, Elijah Wood look like he was like 4 feet fucking tall. So anything's possible.
Justin, what do you think?
The actor that plays Gimli was like 6'2" or something like that. Like,
right. So, yeah. I mean, I'm excited for Ahsoka. Like, I mean, I pretty much knew, kind of same as you, Zach, like, as soon as she came on the screen, I was like, they're going to obviously do more with her. I almost kind of think they're going to kind of try to do kind of like a Arrow, Flash, like CW, DC Universe kind of thing with it, where it's like she might like appear more in like Mandalorian, like Mandalorian might like appear in her show, like they might do more crossover kind of stuff, and stuff like that. My thing is, like, I'm really, like, wondering, like, if all these shows are actually going to happen, in the sense that, yeah, Mandalorian's successful, but, like, it's, like, there's no proven thing that, like, these, like, next 8 shows are going to be good. Like, I mean, they were trying to do, like, we were going to get, like, a Darth Maul movie and a Boba Fett movie and was an Obi-Wan movie at one point and stuff too. And then after, you know, Solo tanked at the box office, like, you know, they pulled all those away. So, I mean, all it's going to take is like one of these shows to underperform. And I wonder if Disney's going to like throttle it back.
Yeah. I mean, that's the good thing about all of this being on Disney Plus, though, mm-hmm. is they can do the Netflix thing of just throw a million things against the wall and something sticks.
Yeah. Just do one season. And then if it doesn't stick, then they don't have to continue it anymore.
Yeah, I mean, and it can just be buried if it's bad. You know, like when it's a full theater release, it's like you get the full theater push for it. You know, like it's merchandise and posters and marketing and all the spend that happens around just the movie coming out. Where this, it's like, oh yeah, what was it? Visions came out last Thursday. Did you see it? No, no one else did either. Okay, moving on. You know, like they're not committed at that point, you know. But there is interesting, though, they're bringing Patty Jenkins of Wonder Woman fame. Of course, she's made other things, but is the first woman to direct a Star Wars film with Rogue Squadron, which appears to be maybe a sequel to Rogue One or something in the Rogue Oneiverse. But that's interesting. And then Mr. Love and Thunder himself, Taika Waititi, is going to direct a Star Wars movie down the line. So they're still doing movies, but we don't know any more about that other than that at this point. I for one, I'm kind of really happy the Han Solo movie tanked, you know, like, because I think they were just churning out bad Star Wars movie after bad Star Wars movie, and they were getting progressively worse. And then when people finally hit that moment of like, yeah, no, we're good here. We don't need to see any more of these. And then, you know, Rise of Skywalker was just real bad and didn't do any of the numbers they expected. Like, the movie didn't bomb, but it certainly didn't perform like they wanted. And I think it was kind of like when Justice League came out and like, yeah, it wasn't a bomb, but man, did it underperform. And that made Warner just do the whole like, yeah, we're putting the brakes on DC, like, let's figure this out, like, let's stop everything. And I think that was a great pivot point for Disney to realize like, oh, we have this product coming out that works way better for what we want to do with all this rather than full motion pictures. And the Disney Plus model, I think, works with all this stuff. And Mandalorian was a great first experiment. It works really well. It's a great story. But yeah, I'm kind of with you, Justin, that if they don't hit with more good stories, this just kind of will fall apart.
Right.
And like the Lando thing, I see what Shannon's saying. Like, I'm not the biggest Lando guy, but if it's a good murder mystery story that just happens to take place in the Star Wars universe, that could totally work. You know, like if it's just an awesome murder mystery, like, sweet, do it, you know?
I think that's what they have to focus on, is it not the like Star Wars with something crammed into it. It's more of like an evolving story with a Star Wars, like, you know, addition. Like, I think you have to go the other way around. Work on the story, make sure the story's a banger, and then, you know, put in the Star Wars elements that you want to focus on. Don't shoehorn everything else together.
And see, I think they already have the blueprint with the Marvel Cinematic Universe. It's like they stopped making quote unquote superhero movies, and like Winter Soldier, they made a 70s spy thriller that just happened to be superheroes. And then it's like, you know, the Ragnarok it's a buddy cop movie that happens to have superheroes. You know, like they made genre films that just happened to include these characters, and I'm hoping that's the direction they've learned, or at least the lessons they've learned to apply to Star Wars. Cause man, that's a license that needs fresh blood real bad, real bad. But speaking of Marvel, Disney was not done. You guys, they were like, oh, okay. Hey, you ready for, okay. Is everyone seated? I hope you got a drink. Did anyone need to go to the bathroom? Because you're going to be sitting here for a while, because I'm about to rattle off so much goddamn Marvel stuff at you. And man, were they not kidding. Okay, so first, which might be bad news, might be good news, depending on how you feel about movie theaters and the philosophy therein. None of the upcoming Marvel movies are going to Disney Plus first. They're not going to launch on Disney Plus. They're not pulling a Mulan or like Warner Brothers bringing their whole catalog to streaming. So Black Widow is still set for May 7th. That's going to be the first of the next wave. And so Shang-Chi and Spider-Man, Doctor Strange, all those still movie theater only products at this point, which, I mean, I don't know how you guys feel about that, but I'm okay with that. I'm not going to go to a movie theater probably until May anyway, unless I get vaccinated, you know? So hopefully movie theaters still exist by then. We'll find out. But I'm all right with that. What do you guys think?
Yeah, I'm fine with that. You know, it's going to be a while before I go back to a movie theater too. And, you know, I just want to see them, you know, put these things in the incubator and make sure that they, you know, are solid products. You know, I'm just glad that, you know, everything's still moving forward. They're still creating a lot of the second wave or second phase. I don't know. Or is this the second phase or is this like the fourth
phase, like four?
Yeah. Like, I'm just happy that everything's still moving along. I just want to see Spider-Man again. That's all I want before he's too old and they recast him. Justin, what do you think?
Yeah, I'm fine with that, too, since I saw that they also kind of, like, threw in there that they finished production on Shang-Chi, which is, like, supposed to be the next movie after Black Widow. So I think kind of, like, once, I guess, movie theaters or something, like, whatever's going to happen, like, they're just kind of, like, finishing up what they were currently working on, and I think they're waiting to kind of see how everything's going to start, like, playing out this, like, next year and stuff before, like, whether they want to push more towards the Disney Plus shows and stuff like that, which it kind of looks like they're doing, and then figure out, like, reorganize their schedule for how they want to start releasing, like, the new phase four of, like, actual movie stuff.
The so then once they got that off the table, they moved into the stuff that they have trailers for, the stuff that's all dropped in 2021. So the first one was WandaVision, which is set for January 15th. I maintain that show looks freaking dope and weird as hell, and I'm here for all of it. Like, I want to see some Scarlet Witch hex power craziness. Like, I'm good with all that. The Falcon and Winter Soldier drops March 19th. Did you guys catch the trailer for that?
No.
Oh, it's good. You should watch it.
I will have to, yes.
Justin?
I am very excited for WandaVision. I didn't watch the trailer for Falcon, but I did watch the one for Loki. And yeah. I have no idea what's going on in Loki, but I'm here for it.
Yeah, so Loki drops in May, and it's just Tom Hiddleston chewing up scenery, just being the most Loki of Lokis, and it's awesome. It's a great reminder that he was one of the absolute best characters from that first run, and I'm here for more Loki. Like, give me that stuff. And the last thing dropping this year is What If, which is an animated show, which is a callback to the comic book of the same name, which essentially is just like hypotheticals of like, what if the ball bounced this way instead of that way in the Marvel Universe? What would happen? Which, as a kid growing up, I loved those comics. I thought they were a lot of fun. The thing that's interesting about this is that apparently it's going to be Chadwick Boseman's last reprisal as Black Panther in one of these episodes, which is interesting. He lended his voice before he passed to an episode of What If. Did you guys read any What Ifs as growing up?
No, I did not.
I read some of them. Like, one of my favorites was like, what if the Punisher killed the entire Marvel Universe?
Yeah.
Like, that was like a cool. Like, that wasn't like, I know there's weirder ones, but I thought that one was like cool of him, like, basically kind of doing the Batman thing and figuring out like everyone's weaknesses and shit and just going around the Marvel Universe and like sniping them down.
Yeah, I remember one where because Marvel back in the day used to do the Marvel annuals, which was like the summer annuals. They were like double sized issues, and it would all like lean or there'd be one storyline that would go through every book's annuals. And there was one where like the ancient Egyptian god Set came to Earth as like an enormous snake or something, and they all had to, you know, band together and fight him off, all the heroes. And there was one of the what ifs was like, what if they would have lost? What happened? And then like all that happens is like Set gets bigger and bigger, and like Wolverine dies because he burns him down to the last atom, so he can't regenerate and everything. It's pretty rad. But you know, these are all stuff I have in long boxes up in my attic right now. It's good times. But speaking of T'Challa, Kevin Feige confirmed that the role will not be recast, but Black Panther 2 is coming May 6, 2020, 2022, sorry. So it should be interesting to see what they do with that. I mean, I'm guessing we'll see a lot more Shuri and just Wakanda stuff in general. Yeah, I mean, what are you guys' thoughts, like, continuing on with Black Panther without Chadwick Boseman?
I think as long as they don't, you know, I think it'll be good to pass the mantle on. You know, you can find a way to kind of reuse some of the old footage and just kind of, you know, have a little bit of a sad point in the beginning of the new Black Panther, and then, you know, have one of the other cast members that has been there kind of pick up the mantle. You know, I think it'd be interesting to kind of see, you know, his rival kind of get a shot at it. The dude who played, I forget what his name was. But you know, his arch, you know, the other tribe leader, like, give him a shot, or give one of the female actresses a shot at the role too. I think, you know, I think there's a lot of room for creativity with the story arc. You know, and I think they need to kind of lean in that direction. That way you're kind of not besmirching the character that Chadwick Boseman like nailed, and you don't have to worry about people comparing, you know, the new actor to, you know, the bar like that was set by him, and like, you know, such a high bar. Mm-hmm. So I think there's a lot of freedom for them to explore, and I think that they need to kind of, you know, follow that route. Justin, what do you think?
Yeah, I think it was a really smart choice on Disney's part to like not recast him and stuff. I think that would have upset a lot of people, and it just would have been like, I think probably like in really poor taste, and just be like really weird for like the Marvel Universe to do that. But I think you're right. Like, I have a feeling that, you know, his sister is more than likely going to be the one to, like, become the next Black Panther. From what I've heard, like, you know, in the comics and stuff, she, like, when he dies anyway in the comics, she eventually becomes Black Panther for, like, a while.
Okay.
And it was funny. I was on Twitter the one time there was, like, a huge thread about it and people, like, arguing about it. And people were like, well, if she becomes Black Panther, then they can't do the whole him marrying Storm thing. And someone was like, I mean, they could, like, yeah, she could still marry Storm. That women can marry women, like, that is a thing. Yeah, that totally happen. Right. Like, so I thought that was funny. I'm like, I could actually see that. I don't think Disney would be so bold as to do that, but that's like definitely something.
It's like, yeah, you're right. They couldn't do it like they did it in 1992.
Yeah. Like, yeah. But yeah, they would totally be stoned to death if they were in, you know, Germany in the 30s. Like,
yeah, definitely. It's like, but here in 2021, come join me. Come join me in the future. Like, so yeah, another movie got announced, which was Ant-Man and the Wasp, Quantumania, which easily is the first title out of all of these. I'm sorry, Quantumania is fucking dumb. But Freaky Star Catherine Newton is joining on to play Paul Rudd's grown-up daughter, or at least teenage-ish daughter, Cassie, who everyone is speculating will become Stature the superhero stature, which is more of a Goliath type character. But we shall see. My guess is 2023 for that one. And the big bomb from all the Marvel stuff, the thing I really couldn't wrap my head around, was John Watts, who's directed both Spider-Man movies for Marvel Cinematic Universe, has been tapped to relaunch the Fantastic Four. They've got no details yet. No cast, no nothing. but I know I might even be in the minority here. I'm fucking hyped to see the Fantastic Four in Marvel Cinematic Universe. Like, and the thing that really excites me more than anything about this is you get the Fantastic Four villains as part of this. Doctor Doom's the best villain Marvel has, hands down. Like, Mephisto, one of the best villains Marvel has, hands down. Like, Kang the Conqueror, again, one of the best villains Marvel's ever had. And the problem they've had up this time was, outside of Thanos, all the villains pretty sucked. Like, they all suck pretty bad, you know? Like, I don't know. Was I supposed to really be scared of fucking Whiplash? Really? Like, come on, you know? But Doctor Doom, on the other hand, he gives Thanos a run for his money right there. So, I mean, I have my thought. Do you guys have any, like, what you want out of a Fantastic Four movie at this point?
Just not to suck. I mean, just, you know, do a, I mean, I, it doesn't, I don't, I mean, I don't even know. Like, they tried doing, like, the lighthearted, like, kind of comedic approach. They tried doing a darker one. Like, it just, they haven't found that secret sauce yet. And, you know, I don't know what it's going to take to get there. I would like to not see an origin story of the Fantastic Four, because you've done that like three times already.
The Spider-Man problem.
Yeah. So, you know, I would like to kind of see something move forward a little past that. I would like to see Dr. Doom, like, be a terrifying force to have to deal with. You know, I think, you know, I kind of want it to have like the Spider-Man Homecoming approach, where, like, you know, there is kind of like some comedy and some lightheartedness in it. But, like, you know, there's an underlying, like, current of, you know, something's going to pop off that's going to be bad. Sure. And, you know, I would like to really see it be like a very, like, huge epic showdown. But, you know, we'll see. I mean, they might only get one shot at this, right? So go out swinging. Like, make sure that Dr. Doom is as fearful as, you know, he's earned, you know, in the comic book universe. So that's what I want to see. Justin, how about you?
Yeah, I have a feeling that they're going to do right by it. Like, Fox, like, as you know, with the last ones, like, they always, like, try to do nitty gritty and whatever, and they're like, lightheartedness, you know, kind of falls flat. But Marvel knows how to tread that line and really do that balance really well between the two. And I think you're right. I think they're going to, I don't really think they're going to do, like, much of an origin story. And it's like, if they are, that's not going to be the entire movie. That might be, like, the first, like, 10 minutes of the movie or something like that, that they'll show. But I think they're going to already kind of be an established thing. Dude, from what I heard, at the end of Far From Home, at the very end, I guess in the background, you can see that they're building the Baxter Building.
Oh, really?
And it says coming in 1, 2, 3, 4. Like, on the, like, all it's right. An Easter egg thing that, like, somebody discovered. So I'm assuming that they're already going to be, like, an established thing, like, within that universe. And I know with Spider-Man 3 sounds just fucking insane with what they're supposedly trying to do. Yeah. Some, like, Into the Spider-Verse type shit with all the universes, and, like, Doctor Strange is going to be involved, which makes 100% sense, since his movie is, like, the Into the Multiverse thing. So I'm assuming Doctor Strange is going to, like, flashpoint their fucking universe.
Well, my guess is that is their skeleton key to get all of these characters into the Marvel Cinematic Universe. Like, there's a multiverse where the Fantastic Four exists. Guess what? They're in the MCU verse now. Like, there's a multiverse where X-Men exists. Oh, look, we brought a team of X-Men over. You know, like, I think that's how you get these characters in. And I my hope is this is the movie that sets, kind of like how Thanos wasn't introduced until the Avengers, mm-hmm. which was like, what, seven movies in at that point or six? It's mm-hmm. like, this will be the movie in this string that like introduces Doctor Doom as the big bad for the rest of the run. That's what I'm hoping for anyway. And give me like a 1960s Fantastic Four. No, like I know you guys don't want an origin story, but give me like a period piece, Fantastic Four. Like, give me that movie.
Well, see, what I want is them like exploring like other dimensions and planets mm-hmm. and shit. Like, that's what they do in the comics, and that's yeah. like the movies never did that. And I'm like, but that's what they do. I'm like, Richard Reed's like a fucking genius, and you yeah. make him like dancing at nightclubs and shit. Like, like you can do something smart. Like, he's like on par with Doom and Tony Stark and like all these other brilliant people. Like, do some cool stuff with that.
So, wrapping up Marvel, we're getting a Secret Invasion series with Samuel Jackson's Nick Fury, and they're bringing back Talos from Captain Marvel. The Skrull. Don Cheadle is going to be in a show as War Machine called Armor Wars, which I'm guessing is guys in suits of armor fighting a lot. Probably Justin Hammer. I think you can probably guess is going to be in that one. But also armor related is Ironheart, which was a super cool comic book if anyone ever read it. But it's essentially a Skrull in Chicago who... this young black girl who is like Reed Richards level smart and essentially reverse engineers the Iron Man suit and makes it for herself and becomes a superhero. And it's badass. Like it's really a super cool book. So I'm hoping they do right by that. And then, and finally Guardians of the Galaxy are getting two spinoffs. One's an I Am Groot animated series, and then a Guardians of the Galaxy holiday special, which is being written and directed by James Gunn. And it comes out Christmas 2022, right before the third movie. There's something about the audacity of that that I just kind of love. Like, yeah, we're making a holiday special and I'm announcing it 2 years in advance. Like,
dude, I think that's going to be fucking hilarious, though, because one, I guarantee I want the movie to be so bad. The premise of Star-Lord's, like, celebrating Christmas, and they're like, everyone else is like, what the fuck's Christmas? And it's, yeah. like, some Hallmark movie bullshit about him trying to show Gamora and, like, Drax and them what Christmas is all about, like, some Charlie Brown Christmas shit, and them decorating Groot like a Christmas tree, like, you know it's right? gonna happen. Like, and then, like, trying to get gifts, and, like, Groot's, like, picking up a bug and shit, and Rocket's like, that's not a gift, like...
Yeah, but this is a Gamora who doesn't, like, know anything about him, right? So she doesn't really, like, love him yet, so she's not really gonna go into, like, the whole, like, I'm gonna believe you just, like, you know, on your word of, like, what this holiday is about. Like, so it'll be pretty interesting to see how they follow that kind of canon, you know, with us having no context of how, like, they're actually getting along from, you know, when Endgame, like, wrapped to, you know, when this holiday mm-hmm. bullshit's gonna happen. So, I don't know. I just think there's a lot of, like, weird plot holiness there that, like, people are going to pick apart. They're going to need 2 years to weave their magic to make it just not as bad as the Star Wars holiday special. So, I'm not looking forward to that at all. Just give me the movie. Just quit fluffing me with other bullshit.
Oh, speaking of other bullshit, I forgot to mention the Hawkeye series. That's also coming. and Moon Knight. But they didn't have any details on those things. Those are also coming. But Moon Knight, if it's done right, is badass. Moon Knight has gone from being one of my all-time favorite comic book characters to, man, they don't know how to write Moon Knight anymore, to, okay, I'm back. Moon Knight's fucking badass again. Like, it... I feel like for 30 years now, I've been back and forth on Moon Knight being either one of the best or totally one of the worst. So I'm hoping they nail it, because Moon Knight, when done correctly, is real damn cool. So I'm hoping they nail it. Out of all that list, what's the thing? Like, what grabs you? What's the thing you're hyped for?
I don't know. I always liked War Machine. Like, I always thought he was, like, a grittier version of Iron Man. And, like, he just seemed, like, where Iron Man was like the quippy dude who kind of, you know, used humor and then blew stuff up. Like War Machine was just like, I'm going to fuck shit up. And I like that. So I'm kind of hoping that Don Cheadle's War Machine, like Armor Wars, whatever it's called, really is kind of on that like level where he's just out there like just wrecking shop. But I think that's the only thing that really like stands out for me. Like I could care less about the Guardians of the Galaxy spinoffs. Like I don't know how I Am Groot is going to be something that adults are going to want to watch. You know, but it's there. I'm interested. I mean,
it's there 2 years from now, to be fair.
Yeah.
So it's not
yeah.
like it's around the corner.
Yeah. I'm interested in the Ant-Man as well.
You know, funny enough, me too. Like, I think it's just they've nailed the first two movies so well that I'm just stoked to see that team back together. Like, what can they do?
You just want to see Luis back. I think we all do.
I want his recap. You know,
yeah, like. But like I do want to see that whole crew back together again. I do want to see where they go with the story. I want to see who the villain's gonna be. So I'm in on that. But yeah, I'll tell you which one I'm way out on is Fantastic Four. Like I'll just sit for that one for a while.
See, and I hear you, and I get it, I understand, but. Part of me just really wants to see it done right. And this is, and you know what it is? I feel like this is the last shot. This is the last chance they have to do it right. Cause Fantastic Four, when done right, is they're the first team. Like they're the first ones. They're like the A+ Marvel team. And like to Justin's point, how many big storylines in the history of Marvel has Reed Richards running point? You know, like on the whole damn thing, and because he's the smartest motherfucker in the whole goddamn universe. And it's like, that was just lost in every movie they've tried to do. And so, like, I'm hoping. I just have hope. I'm prepared. I've been hurt before, Shannon. I'm prepared. But yes. Justin, what do you think?
So I'm going to totally be in your corner. And like, one of my top is the Fantastic Four because I think it has the potential to really like advance the Marvel universe if done right in like a solid direction. And like one of the things I'd heard is like one of the fan casting things for like I'd heard it was like for Reed Richards, what's his name? Jim, like the person who plays Jim from The Office.
Okay.
That dude is Reed Richards. Mm-hmm. I was like, I could see it. Like I could be like a part of that. Especially like Reed Richards, not clean cut Reed Richards, but like the where he gets like a little gristly like Reed Richards, like later on, like when he has like the beard where he's kind of like stressed the fuck out Reed Richards. Like,
yeah, totally. Yeah, Jim Halpert could pull that off.
Yeah.
For sure. Yeah.
Like the Council of Reed Richards where he consults with himself from different universes, Reed Richards. So, and that and like WandaVision, because I think WandaVision's going to be have a. I feel like WandaVision, I think, is honestly going to start off the whole multiverse thing that, like, Doctor Strange is going to play off of in Spider-Man 3. I think it begins with her. So I'm, like, kind of interested to see because, you know, she's on some, like, House of M shit, and I'm, like, I'm there for it.
So the last big thing we're going to talk about before we move forward is the Game Awards happened. And, yeah, I'll be honest. I don't really care about the Game Awards at all. Like, we're not going to talk about the winners and losers because my opinion is we're all losers. But
was it just the nominations? This was like the whole thing?
Yeah, the whole thing.
I mean, dude, basically long the TLDR was Last of Us 2 fucking cleaned house.
Yeah.
And what? I felt like Ghost of Tsushima should have won more. Even though I didn't play it, I felt it probably deserved to win some awards more.
Animal Crossing should have won more, too, to be honest.
Yeah, Animal Crossing won Best Family Game, which I do believe it deserves it.
Yeah,
and totally. Among Us won 2 awards, which I thought was insanely dope for them, since it is literally a 4-person team.
and the game came out, like, 5 years ago or 4 years ago or something like that. Like,
yeah.
which I thought was weird that it was nominated for this year's Game Awards, but hey, whatever. Apparently, it's the year it becomes popular.
It came out, I think, on PC, because I think it came out on mobile years ago, but I think it came out like on Steam, which is how they got away with it.
They got around that, but okay. So we're going to talk about the announcements, and I don't necessarily want to go through this whole list because I don't want to be here for another 2 hours, but I was hoping you guys would take a look at the list and just, did anything jump out at you that you want to talk about? There's a few for me. Perfect Dark got announced. It's the game the Initiative has been working on in secret, not so secret, for a couple of years now, and they finally announced it. They're bringing back Perfect Dark, and there are some pretty cool visuals. It gives you kind of a narrative setup, but didn't show any gameplay or anything. Just that, hey, Perfect Dark exists, and it's coming back. But I like Perfect Dark, so I'm on board for seeing what that is. And the thing that I know Mike Miller was stoked about, but Turtle Rock was the team that made the original Left 4 Dead, and they're back with Back 4 Blood with the number 4, just like Left 4 did. And it looks exactly like Left 4 Dead, but maybe grosser, maybe more gore if that's possible. But I'm here for it. I loved Left 4 Dead. I thought Left 4 Dead 2 was really, really great, and probably the last multiplayer based game I played with any regularity, just because I really loved it and would play with randos all the time. And I think it's really fun. So the fact that that team still exists and essentially just said, hey, we can do this again, let's go, I'm all on board. And that now said, it's coming out June 22nd, and that's going to be PS4, 5, Windows, Xbox, and Series X. So do you guys have any thoughts on those before we move forward?
Yeah, like I saw the like some gameplay of Back 4 Blood, and yeah, that shit looks just straight up chaos. Like the minute you get dropped into that room, like there's like dudes right at the door. They're just like, yeah, let me in. You gotta like blast your way out of your starting point. And then, you know, with Left 4 Dead, you know, you kind of had like a little, it seemed like a grace period from where like the action started, like, so you can kind of get your bearings, like kind of plot out like where you're gonna go, like what you're gonna, where your plan of attack is gonna be. Like this one, it just seems like the minute you get out that front door, you're just being bombarded with shit you got to shoot. And it kind of gives a little bit of panic, a little bit of urgency to your strategy, which I like. But yeah, I mean, if I got to play this game with a bunch of, if I got to do multiplayer on this thing and I can't play with my friends, I'm probably not going to play it that much. Like if I just got to play with like random people online, because let's be honest, like I'm not going to have a lot of time to play this game. My skills probably aren't going to be the best, and I'm not going to know where I'm going half the time, and I'm just going to drag the party down and they're going to get frustrated. So I would probably just like to play this with my friends. So Zach, if I can play with you and like maybe Justin and then like, you know, one other person, then that would be great. But if we can't, you know, sit down and play this at a regular time interval, like I'm not going to play it.
Well, we would, but Justin is going to be eating the whole time, so it's not going to work. And
that's not true.
He'll get nacho cheese all over his controller. It'll gum up the works.
I mean, all we're going to hear is crunching on the microphone while we're trying to figure out like what we're doing. Is that a zombie eating me? No, that's Justin chewing his nachos.
but I could see like the three of us and like Mr. Platinum or like Mike Miller. Mm-hmm. We can be the fearsome foursome out there, taking out some 20-foot tall zombies. I like this. I like this plan a lot.
Yep.
And see, I say like Mike Miller and Justin because they're ringers. They're actual like really good gamers versus people like that are old and have no skills like us. Shut up, Mike. And Mike, you can stop talking to your radio. I know you're as old as me or older right now, but like still, you're better. So just take the compliment, damn it. But yeah, no, I'm super on board for that. I'm hype as hell. I know Justin was crazy excited that Vin Diesel is the star of Arc 2.
Yeah, dude, when he came out and he was like, I'd do anything for family, I was like, yes. I was like, Dom's back, baby. And he's like riding, like whipping in a Flintstones car, like fucking.
I won't do anything for family.
Yeah, dude, that's like his line. Every Fast and the Furious movie finds some way to incorporate some version of that line.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, no, I thought for the Game Awards, like, I was like, bro, we're getting like Left 4 Dead 3, and we're basically getting Dead Space 4 with the Callisto Protocol.
Yeah.
I was super excited for that when I was like, dude. Because, like, when Back 4 Blood came out, I was like, dude, is this Left 4 Dead 3? And then when they said it was the same team, I'm like, okay, that makes sense. And then with this one, I was like, bro, are we getting a new Dead Space? And then they're like, it's the same team. I was like, we're getting Dead Space without EA attached to it? I was like, yes, bitch, like, bring it. I'm here for it.
The thing that, the only bad news about that, the Callisto Protocol part, was 2022, which made me go, no, because I want that now. But yeah, no, I was right there with you. What was the other one I wanted to talk about real quick? Outside of the new Among Us map, which I thought was fun that they're bringing us a new map. I know my son will be very excited about that. That was the thing. Does anyone else think like EA needs to stop announcing games that are years away? Because it was one of those like, hey, we're bringing out Dragon Age. Fuck if we know when it's coming out. Same with Mass Effect. All right, have a great night. And everyone's like, wait, Mass Effect and Dragon Age? And they're like, yep, they exist. Can you give us any details? No, we can't. Moving on.
Well, like, I think it's better to not give release dates or any time like that, because, I mean, then you're going to run into problems of people wanting to know, and then you're going to have to postpone things if things aren't going the way that you want, and then you got people sending you death threats. I think it's just easier to just say, hey, look, we're working on something. We don't have a lot of details yet, but, like, yeah, we haven't given up on these properties. I think that kind of keeps the carrot on the stick dangling just long enough to keep people's interest. But, you know, at the same time, you're not committed to anything. So, I mean, it's all right. It is what it is. You're just going to have to wait. But, you know, now people are going to be paying attention to EA to see what they're doing, to see when their press conferences or any news comes out, to see if there's anything about Mass Effect or Dragon Age. Maybe they'll get a bump out of it.
See, I think that's like how it worked 10 years ago. I think the internet moves too fast now. No one cares. You know, like there's two. It's like one of those like, oh, keep your channel tuned here for more Mass Effect news. And it's like, yeah, but I got this Callisto Protocol over here that I'm like paying attention to. And there's this new Among Us map. And like, by the way, Master Chief dances in Fortnite now with Kratos. So I don't know. Like, wait, what's Mass Effect again? Like, that's what like the today's world is, you know, like Mass Effect, huh? And launching those things with really showing nothing attached to them, especially big names like that, like Mass Effect and Dragon Age, like things people get. It's like the few properties EA has that people still get excited for, and just being like, hey, there it is. Nope, got nothing else. And it's just like, I don't know. It just comes across to me as like super disappointing.
I'm just waiting for them to be like, okay, we're going to put this out there and going to see what kind of threats that we get. Like people are like, oh, I swear to God, don't you dare put those loot box bullshit things into that Dragon Age or I'm going to stab you. And they're like, okay, make a mental note. Don't put the fucking loot box things in there.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, so, it's like, they're like, hey, Bill, what do we have on the design doc? And they're like, ah, man, I'm not sure. Hey, just tell the internet it exists. They'll write the game for us. Right. Yeah.
Yeah. Where's that Reddit? Where's that Reddit group? They'll fill it in for us.
Did you have anything on the list that we haven't talked about yet, Shannon? That jumped out to you?
No, I mean, like I saw the Fallout guys, like season 3. I was like, are people still playing Fallout or Fall Guys? Like, I don't know. Like that seemed to
Shannon
fall off.
Shannon doesn't even know the name of the fucking game.
I know. I said Fallout guys. Like it's. I know. Guys.
I will tell you, it is huge in the 7-year-old community that my son is part of because they all get together and play Fall Guys every Monday. It's pretty funny, actually. Oh,
That's cool. Because like, pretty rad. I haven't seen anything pop up on my Twitter feed in like months for that. So. No dig on like how many people I have on my Twitter account. Nothing. No. Okay.
Nope. Well, I can unmute and let my daughters screams whales fill your you know, in lieu of the missing soundboard that's been gone for a month now,
yeah,
we could just fill in like my daughter's screams every time you do things.
Well, I'm trying to make some custom sounds, and also I'm trying to move everything that we use to record down to my girlfriend's house, so that I'm not cluttering up my dad's office anymore, and you guys don't have to hear a phone ring like, you know, maybe one in every three podcasts. So
you got to add that to the soundboard, though. Oh, yeah. For sure.
All right.
I was actually really surprised that, well, I was like, one, we didn't get any Elden Ring, like, right? Not even like a game, like a trailer, like anything like that. I was like, we got like a picture like 3 years ago.
Wait, yeah, I was gonna say, when did Sekiro drop? Like 3 years ago now? Since before Sekiro came out, we've been here like, oh, this is going to be when they're talking about Elden Ring. And it's like, still nothing. Years later.
Yeah, they didn't even like bring it up in passing. And then, oh man, what was like the other game that they... There was like another game that I was like, man, they didn't even like bring that up. It was something that, like, I mean, we still haven't heard anything on Bayonetta. Like, there's just like all these games from like years ago from like E3 that I'm like, is this even like still in development, or like what's going on? Like, they didn't say anything about them.
I honestly expected some new dates, like games that were supposed to come out in 2020 that got pushed. Like, I expected to be like, oh, these aren't new games, but like, this is when you can expect X. This is when this game is coming out. Like, definite, hardcore, like this is the line. And no, nothing like that. It was just like, oof. But did you see Halo Infinite got pushed to fall 2021, which I think good, yes, make that a holiday 2021 game. Like, take your time, guys, really just polish that up, because hoo boy, that didn't go over well the first time. So I remain very curious about Halo Infinite, but yeah, all in all, pretty good showing. Some stuff to talk about, some stuff to get excited about. But why don't we transition to games that we are playing? And Shannon, what you been playing?
Well, if you let Justin have free reign on what I'm playing, I'm playing Cyber Slut 42069. Nice.
You're playing Justin's character from Cyberpunk?
Yeah, it's basically Cyberpunk 2077, but they take out the whole story and they just let you like make like people's private parts. Like, that's all you'd basically do is just, you know, make weird private parts. It's great.
That's all I did for the first 20 minutes.
So. Yeah, but that's, you know, that's you, Justin. Like, you got to spend a lot of time on the private parts. But this week I finally got to turn on my gaming PC and play some games on it. So. I got the, what was it, Games with Gold, and the Xbox, whatever their frickin' streaming service is. Game Pass. Like, I haven't turned on my Xbox in forever, so, like, I didn't know. I just went to Xbox and said, give me my monthly subscription bullshit. So I got to play Gears of War 5.
That's a good one.
Yeah, And I'm playing it on the PC with my Xbox Elite controller, and I am having a lot of fun with it. Dude. So it's I can see why people like to play on PC, and you know, on consoles for a while. Like, this is a pretty big like upgrade as far as going from my just regular PlayStation 4 to you know, something that's a lot more powerful. So I'm enjoying it. Other than that, I've been playing more Immortals Phoenix Rising. That game is fun. I'm having a lot of fun with that. Like, I don't even
I was so close to buying that so many times this week, just because so many people I know that whose game opinions I respect, like yourselves, are saying like, no, Phoenix is actually really good. Like, it's super fun. And I'm like, sounds like a game I'd like. I don't know.
You know, I was sitting there and I was like, man, I was like, this game is perfect. The one problem that I have is when you're climbing, like, you can't do like a jump to climb up to the next ledge. And flying, like, all you could do is like glide. You can't really control it. Well, you know, I finally got to the spot where like I could power up like a lot of my abilities. And like the first three things I did was I powered up my climbing ability, so now I can jump when I'm climbing. And when I'm gliding, I can like pull my wings in, so I can go faster and use less stamina. But I can like clear the map a lot faster. So like now, like all the gripes that I have with the game are gone. Like it's I'm having a blast. But that's all I've been playing. Justin, what have you got for us this week?
Yeah, I was supposed to, before we got to here, I was supposed to let Justin talk about, Cyberpunk on its own little thing. And I didn't write it in the outline, so I totally forgot. So Justin, please tell us about some Cyberpunk.
Yes. So, before Cyberpunk, real quick, I played Boner Simulator 2020. That's the one. Judging by what it is, I'm assuming Shannon wrote it, especially with yes. Now, mind you, it's Boner Simulator, capital B, no capital S, very small S after to really emphasize the boner.
Yeah. Yeah. Very, very small simulator.
Yeah, very, very small.
But, you know, unlike Negative Space, it came out this year. So good job, Shannon.
No. That is true.
Justin hates me so bad.
Man, so I played Cyberpunk.
Man, it's pretty rare that Justin doesn't have a comeback.
Yeah. No, he's just like sitting there like, do I hang up? Do I just say fuck these guys?
I don't know. We'll pick up the one tear that came out of his eye when you said that.
It's because I'm smiling so hard to prevent from crying that I'm like biting the inside of my cheek to dull the pain. No, you're fine. So I did play Cyberpunk 2077 this week. I'm playing it on the PS5, Megan's PS5, that I've been lucky enough to get to play on. And I honestly, up to this point, like, I haven't had any issues with the game. Like, I haven't had, like, any bugs that I've noticed, anything like that. I do note that I played it after there was an update that came out. Besides, like, the day one whatever update thing, there was another update that just came out, like, recently. Like, I didn't play it the day it launched. So there was a PlayStation, PS4, PS5, PC, whatever update that they said they fixed a bunch of bugs with. So I played it after I already had that update. Everything, like, load times are great. I haven't had a lot of the issues that I've seen a lot of people on, like, the base PS4 and stuff, where it's, like, you're driving and, like, everything kind of looks, like, super hot because fucking textures are, like, blurry and not, like, loading right away. It can't, like, keep up.
Everything I've read at this point basically says, like, if you're planning on playing this on an Xbox One or a PlayStation 4, don't. Like, just don't. Yeah.
Yeah, Sony's actually, like, offering refunds for people who bought it for PS4 because it's pretty much unplayable from what I've heard on the PS4 and stuff. But, yeah, no, I mean, on PS5, I've been having fun with it. I did spend 20 minutes like customizing my character at the very beginning. There's a lot of options, not of just the genital variety, but
good to note.
Yes. Yeah, there's like lots of crazy eyes and like hair, and you do tattoos. But what's funny is there's a because the entire game, that's my like one complaint, is I wish there was like a third person view so you could actually see your character. So it's, like, funny, like, my outfit that I'm wearing right now, like, I look fucking stupid, like, as all hell, because I'm, like, wearing shorts and, like, biker boots and, like, whatever, but the stats are good, but it's, like, normally it would bother me, but it's just, like, I don't even care, because it's, like, you can't even see yourself in the game unless you're, like, looking in a mirror or something, so I'm, like, all these other, like, NPCs just have to deal with the fact that I'm, like, wearing a fedora and, like, basketball shorts. But I haven't gotten like super far in the game. I'm still kind of like in the earlier kind of, I guess, like stages of the game, like, but I've done like a couple missions and stuff and gunned people down, and like the hacking and like stuff like that's like really cool and stuff, so I'm digging it so far. It's actually a lot slower in terms of like action and stuff, like as of right now anyway, from like what I've played, it's actually more like CSI kind of like stuff, which I wasn't really expecting. Like, you know, the trailers make it seem like, you know, oh, you're running around, you're a cyberpunk, you're like gunning down people. I'm like, bro, I'm like saving lives and like hacking shit and stuff. Like, it's more Matrix-y to me than like what I was expecting of just like shoot 'em up, like running around beating people's faces in.
So sure. Like, yeah, that's the one main complaint. Like, I'll tell you right now, like I'm waiting for Christmas because I think somebody in my family has already purchased it for me. So I'm not, you know, I decided to go to Metacritic and see like what everybody was saying over there. And I was really surprised to see that like from the industry side, it was getting like, you know, 90s or like, you know, 95s. But like from the player, like the user side, it was getting like a 60. And like a lot of people were saying, like giving it zeros and ones because they're saying it's unplayable and it's buggy as hell. And, you know, like their scenes were like, you know, things are clipping in and out. Like, granted, I don't know if they're playing on a console, if they're playing on the PC, but, you know, I just, you know, I'm worried that maybe this game was rushed a little bit to, you know, to finally be out because they had postponed it so many times. But I mean, do you want to go back and play it? Do you have that that itch to go back and like keep playing Cyberpunk, or is this just like one of those games where you feel you're gonna play like 10 hours and be like, yeah, I'm done?
No, I definitely like want to play more, like, because I haven't even played 10 hours of it yet. But I'm like, now that I like have it and stuff, I think like a lot of the hype has died down around mm-hmm. it. Like if I had to give it like a 1 out of 10 just from like when I've played like right now, like I would give it like, you know, a solid like 7.5 or like whatever. Like, it's good. Like, I wouldn't say it's like game changing. Like, I mean, the city's beautiful, like the environments are dope. Like, I like what I'm seeing. But it's not like, I don't think it's like incredibly like, I'd say, innovative, like in terms of like gameplay or anything like that. Like, I mean, most of the NPCs that I walk up and try to like talk to or whatever, they just say kind of like one of like six like pre like lines that NPCs say or whatever. And then they kind of just like tell me to fuck off. And I'm like, all right. But like, you know, as of right now, like I said, like the Matrix aspect of it, of like hacking shit and stuff, like that's kind of like what I'm into. And I've seen like people play on Twitch and stuff where you kind of go, like, you legitimately go into like some, like the tutorial, whatever, for combat and like whatever is legitimately like straight from the Matrix. Like, they give you a thing, the dude's like, you're like in a car and the dude's like here, and you just kind of like plug it into like your fucking neck, and then it does the whole like, like you're in the Matrix thing, and then you're in this like combat simulator fucking thing, and it's like after doing that for like 20 minutes, you're like back in the car, like no time fucking passed, like I'm gonna learn kung fu, and it's like, and it's like, all right, you did it. So I really like that aspect of it and stuff, and it's pretty cool. Like,
have you gotten to drive cars yet?
So I haven't actually got to drive cars. I've been in the passenger seat of cars, but I haven't actually gotten to drive a car yet. I've gotten to fire like guns and stuff, and it's cool. I think for me, I really want to do like more melee, I think, is like what I've kind of been investing my stats more towards. Like, I want to do some like fucking Blade Runner, like come at you with a katana, like type shit is what I want to be on. But yeah, I mean, it's pretty interesting so far. Like, I like, it's not going to be on my list for game of the year, but
wow.
But I mean, it sounds like it could be 2021's game of the year by the time they like patch it all and fix everything. It just sounds like it came out of the oven a little too early still, is what
right?
It seems like.
And that's what's weird, is like when I go on Twitter and like we're like, there's like, it's almost like a handful like across the board where there's a group of people who are like, this game like crashes all the time. I'm playing it on PS5 and it's crashing all the time and it runs like shit. And then there's other people who are like, bro, I've had it since day one and have had like zero issues. Like, there's been like a couple bugs of like people like kind of floating, like they're in cars but you don't actually see cars and stuff, but they're like, I've had like no issues with the game. And there's other people like, dude, I'm playing this on like base PS4 and like it sounds like it's gonna explode and like the game's just like not running and textures aren't loading and it's a miserable time. And I'm kind of like, like I said, I played it after the update, and I'm like, I haven't had, or like, I haven't seen people like glitching into stuff or anything yet. Like, I'm like, haven't had any problems with like loading anything. So that's been nice.
It seems to me like this is now, it's moved from a game that like would be the game I would buy as soon as I get the next gen console. It's now going to be the game I buy when they come out with the Game of the Year edition that has everything fixed. Kind of like how Witcher 3 was. Like, you know, by the time you got the $30 version of Witcher 3, that game was smooth. You know, like, but when I first played it at the $60 price point, it was kind of rough. You know, it had a bunch of texture issues and a bunch of storyline problems and stuff like that. So
that's what a lot of people said too online. They were like, man, CD Projekt Red sure likes to do this with their games where they release them and they're not quite there yet.
I think it's the same problem Obsidian has with like Skyrim and stuff like that. When you make something so big, it just, you're going to have these problems, and it just, you know, like one by one, you'll flatten every crease out. You'll stitch everything up, but it takes time. And I think you just need to give them that time. And unfortunately, they probably had to get it out after delay, after delay, after delay. It was like, we need to get this out just to get money in. So, you know, I'm hoping that it turns around and they fix it, but I'm glad I waited at this point. So, all right. And then what else did you play, Justin?
So I finished Bugsnax, which I loved. And I'm going to tell you right now, after beating Bugsnax, I had to rearrange my Game of the Year list again. Because it was my thing is, I know they're making a new Pokemon Snap for Switch. And it's like, I don't even know like how they're going to make the new Pokemon Snap better than like Bugsnax. Since Bugsnax like improved on the Pokemon Snap formula so well that it's like, I feel like they basically need to take notes from Bugsnax and be like, all right, well, this is kind of what we need to do then for Pokemon Snap. But it was great. All right. The game is like treads the line of being, I think I said this last week, but it treads the line of like being dark, like very well and stuff. And the ending like lives up to that. So now is
this something you think could be played on PS4? Because I know you're playing it on PS5, but it's released on PS4. So
yeah. Oh yeah. No, it could easily be played on PS4. Like really, I think the only like real difference that you would experience between like the PS4 and the PS5 version is not even really grab. I just probably load times, and then like I said, with the PS5 controller, you have the cool detention on the trigger button and stuff for the camera. But it's like, that's not a make it or break it. And then the last game I played, which I couldn't remember, I thought Shannon might have brought this up at one point, Monster Sanctuary. Did you ever bring that up? So it came out on Switch. I think it's been out on like PC, whatever, before, but it's literally, it's a Metroidvania mixed with Pokemon.
Okay.
And so I was like, all right, you got me intrigued. And so the whole premise, like, you collect monsters and you kind of get eggs and you hatch them, and you can have like a party of effectively like three monsters at a time, and like one follows you like in the overworld, kind of like, you know, a yellow version of Pokemon or whatever, but they each have like abilities that you can use like in the overworld. Like your starter one, I picked the like fire lion thing, and he can like slash stuff, but it also burns stuff. So in the overworld, there's some parts where there's like green vines and stuff, and like you can burn those away to like progress to like certain areas. And then there's like this little rock plant thing that'll lay a rock down, which you can like use that as like an extra platform to get up to places that you couldn't normally jump and stuff. And it's interesting because the Pokemon or whatever in the game, they level up and they each have their own skill trees that you like invest points in, and like your party, every time you do a battle, whatever, they all get experience and stuff. But you also, like the human player that you're playing as, like, you don't get equipment and stuff. All the equipment goes to the creatures, so, like, all your Pokemon thing have, like, three equip slots where you can equip weapons and accessories and stuff that give them, like, more mana, more health, more defense, like, better chance to critical hit. And after each battle, like, they automatically get all their health and mana and stuff back. So it's not like you have to, like, run to a Pokemon Center or do anything. So it's, like, very quick where it's, like, after a battle, it's not like, oh, I need to heal everybody and do whatever because everyone's already healed. And, like, each round and stuff, because it goes, like, 3v3 or whatever, like, 3v2, depending on however many enemies you run in. Like, each round after everyone's attacked, it's like, all right, everyone gains back, like, X amount of mana and stuff. So you're not like, oh, well, I can only do this attack twice, and then he's, like, tapped out, and then I just have to, like, physically, like, punch or do whatever. Like, you get mana back to do more, like, of your spells and stuff like that. So it's pretty cool so far.
All right. So, I mean, do they, like, evolve and stuff, too? Like, is it so, all the way
one of Yeah, they of do those, evolve. Or? Like, and from what I read, I haven't gotten one to evolve, like, yet, but it looks like some of them kind of have, like, almost like a evolution tree and stuff, and it's like you could go kind of one way or the other. Like, I'm assuming it's kind of going to be like how BioShock 2 did it, where it's like, okay, well, like with the ignite and stuff, it's like you can go this way and it'll be more of like a fireball, or you can go this way and it'll be more of like a flamethrower, like direct attack. So I think like some of them have like some tweaks to their evolutions. That's like depending if you want to be more offensive, defensive, like whatever.
Gotcha. Yeah. But
like, okay. How easy is it? Like, so you say you get eggs. Like, so do you have to incubate them? Do they like follow you around? Like, do you have them in your bag? Like,
so with the egg, it's like a draw. Like most of the creatures and stuff. So the way I've gotten eggs, and it said the best way to get eggs is the drop from like battles that you get from certain creatures and stuff. And you get a rating after your battle, like after you do a battle with some monsters, and the rating's based on like how quick, like how many turns or whatever it took you to like end the battle, and also like how well you played into like, oh, like water's good against fire, like fire's good against grass, like how well you utilized your monsters versus the other monsters and stuff affects your like 5-star rating. And then the higher you end with, like if you end with like 4 stars or whatever, then it's like you get better drops, and that's usually when you get like the eggs and stuff, since it's a rarer drop. And you just literally go into your inventory and click like, oh, hatch, immediately hatches it. Like you don't have to fuck around with, and it just adds it to your party and stuff. So that's like really cool, and you can like name them like whatever you want. So like my starter shitbird, and then I got like a worm or whatever that was like. Like limp dick or something like that. I don't remember what I named, like Chubba-wubba. So that's pretty cool. And it has like online and stuff, I believe, that you can do like online versus and stuff that.
Are you playing this on Switch or PC or?
Yeah, I'm playing it on Switch. Okay. And the Metroidvania part of it, like jumping around, like I haven't really like the Metroidvania part. I haven't really got to like experience like as much. Like I haven't gotten any like upgrades for like my dude or like whatever that really screams like Metroidvania to me. Like there's some platforming and stuff, but I'm kind of interested to see like how far they push that. Like I'm like, is this just Pokemon? You just kind of added the Metroidvania thing to like make it different, or like how far are they going to push the actual like Metroidvania aspect of it is what I'm kind of interested to see with it.
So is there platforming, or is it more like a top down and there's just like areas that are blocked off until you get certain abilities?
I mean, there is like platforming, but like nothing like Mario wise. Like it kind of reminds me like stylistically of kind of like Terraria or something like that.
Okay. You know?
It's very 2D, and like there's areas where it's like I couldn't like jump up and reach yet, so I'm like, all right, I'll come back later. And then once I got the grass rock dude who could lay the rock down, I was like, oh dude, I bet you I could reach that part now. So then I like went back to get like treasure and stuff that I couldn't reach before. But it has like a Metroid style map in the corner, so it's like really easy to like find stuff. So I always love the simple map where it's not overly complicated. I'm like, that's all I need.
Cool.
It seems like a game Shannon would totally love, to be honest.
Like, I'm actually like it's definitely piquing my interest. If I didn't have Immortals on my Switch right now, I would probably be downloading this right now.
Yeah, because I think it's $20, and I think I got it. It was on sale for like $17.99 right now or something like that. So yeah, nice. I definitely recommend it. I definitely want to play more of it to see how it kind of progresses out. So cool. Zach, who is the host of That Pixel Life,
Zach Anderson here.
God dang it, you just pissed off my, like, I was gonna wait until the very end when he was gonna say like be great, and I was gonna be like, hey Zach, do you want to introduce yourself?
Gotta save that one for next week, Shin.
Beat you to it. So yeah. What have you been playing though, Zach, before I ruin Shannon's joke there?
This week, a game I've been really curious about came to Game Pass, so I downloaded it, and it is called Call of the Sea. And let me ask you guys, you ever play Firewatch?
Yes.
What if I told you, how about Firewatch set in like 1930s adventure times with like a Lovecraftian shadow over the whole thing? Does that sound good to you? Sound all right?
You have my interest.
Yeah, so I mean, it's essentially what this is. You play as this woman, Nora, who is looking for her husband. You have a mysterious disease that has been debilitating and left you with spots all over your arms and skin. And you get a package in the mail that has a knife in it, a picture of your husband, and basically a manifest saying where the last place he went. And so you charter a boat and you head out and you wind up near Tahiti, and there's a like forbidden island 34 miles south of Tahiti that no one will take you to. And you finally convince a guy to take you out there, and he's like, all right, we'll pick you up in 3 days, get in the motorboat, we ain't going any closer. And you step foot onto the island and the story begins. It very much is like Firewatch, where it is a walking simulator. I hate those games, but I like the term stroll PGs instead of instead of walk simulator. But the crux of it is the story, which is really, really good. It has puzzles. Like there's 6 chapters, and each chapter is essentially the same, where there's kind of like one master puzzle, and you have to solve little puzzles around it to unlock the main puzzle, and then you progress. You have a notebook that, as you journey around and find, you know, places where your husband and his team have camped, and different things, you'll pick up clues and photographs and stuff, and she'll sketch everything down in her notebook that you bring up at the press of a button. And so it's very formulaic in that regard, where the game is enter an area, find all the story, find all the clues, figure out how the clues unlock the puzzle, move forward, and then you do it again, and then you do it again, and then you do it again. And on the surface, it's like, okay, that sounds pretty dumb. That sounds not like a really good game, but the story these clues are telling about how one by one, the people on this expedition team kind of descended into madness, and how they did and what led them to, and what's happening to you. Because somewhere around chapter 2, you start to feel a lot better, kind of out of nowhere. And you're picking up steam, and that was like the big thing. So chapter 1 starts and you're walking around this island. Now remember, you're a woman that has had a degenerative disease for like 10 years. You move slow when you're walking around this island, and chapter 1 isn't that long, but I spent most of it going like, oh my God, I don't know if I can play this game if this is how fast I can move. Like, I just need to get up this hill, and it's taking me forever to get up this damn hill. Like, oh my God. But as soon as you start feeling better, it unlocks the ability to sprint. And it's like, oh, thank Christ. Whew, all right, I'm back. Yeah, I can play this game now. There's some amazing set pieces. Chapter 3 is a ship that's run aground and a big storm is brewing on the island and everything. And it's a fantastic set piece. There are moments that really descend into like the horror genre, but it never quite crosses over to being actually scary. It's more just things will happen that are pretty unsettling, but it never crosses the line. Like nothing, there's no combat. You're never attacked. You're never chased. Nothing like that ever happens to you. It's more that you're walking into these scenes that have happened and trying to put the pieces together of what the hell happened here. And sometimes that's pretty messed up. You know, when you figure it out, it's like, that poor bastard. Okay, moving on. And but you know, there's like weird technology on this island. There's things that don't appear to be man-made. Things like when you figure out what happened to the ship, when you get a good up close look to it, you're like, oh, that's scary as hell. And so, yeah, it's really cool. The ending of the game is great. It ends with a choice. I went and did both of them. One of them is really fulfilling. The other, not so much. But the one, which is the choice you'd probably make 9 times out of 10, is a great choice. I almost wish they didn't give you the other option. It doesn't really fit the story it's telling. But it plays really well. That last puzzle, which is based around stars and constellations, was a bitch and a half. Like it's the only thing in the game where I got to where I'm like, maybe I just need to look up the walkthrough on how to solve this. Like this is getting stupid. And finally I was right there. I was right at the, like, I'm going to pull my phone out and just get the solution to the goddamn puzzle. Cause I'm spending way too much time on this and it's right at the end. And the last thing I did before I did it, the door opened and I'm like, oh, thank Christ. Okay, we're moving on. And it turned out that was the last puzzle in the game. So be prepared if you're going to play it. It gets pretty bogged down on that last puzzle. But outside of that, none of the puzzles I felt were really hard. Like all the stuff to solve them is there. You just sometimes you need to stare at it for a little bit. But the game isn't cheap. Like it gives you everything you need to answer the puzzles. Like, again, the point of the game isn't the puzzles. The point of the game is the story. And they really do a good job of trying to get out of the way of the story. And it's probably 4 hours, 5 hours. It's not long. Game Pass is a great deal for it. But to be honest, it's totally worth the $20 they're charging. It's a hell of a story. If we had a category for Game of the Year that was just story-based, it would be up there for me. As far as, it's just cool. It's just a really fucking cool thing. And it's one of those, like, I want more. Like, her husband, Harry, is the, you know, kind of like Jules Verne, explorer, H.G. Wells type that's going and doing all this stuff. And I want more stories involving this dude. Like, I want more of just like, yeah, give me more Harry expeditions. Like, I want this. Like, this is really cool. Like, draped around this. But told through the lens of his wife, Nora, it's really touching. It has a really heartfelt ending. And I recommend it. It's really, really good. I don't know if it's going to make Game of the Year because it's so damn simple. Like, it really is a simple game. But the story it tells is just pretty unique and pretty damn cool. My only one complaint was the level based around the shipwreck, which happens pretty early. There's an achievement for finding the secret item in every level. And I found that one, which again happens early in the game, and it kind of gives away what's going on in the whole thing. And I was like, oh man, like really? Like you just kind of did that. But still good stuff. Highly recommend it. Is it a game either one of you think you would give a shot to?
For sure, yeah. I had heard good things about it before, just by name. Like, I really didn't know what it was about. I hadn't looked into it. I just heard, like, the name float around, and it was like, hey, you know, it's very much like Firewatch. It's good. It's, like, a fun, like, little short game and stuff. And I was like, all right. And then when I saw it on your list that you'd played it, I was like, oh, man. I'm like, dude, if Zach played it, I'm like, I'll probably end up playing it at some point, because probably good then.
And you should. And the voice of Nora is Sissy Jones, who is the from Firewatch and also the Walking Dead games. And Harry was Yuri Lowenthal from Spider-Man. So they've got some talent in the voice acting realm. Like, it comes through really well. So, but Shannon, no, that's not you. Yeah.
No, I'd totally do it. Like, especially after the return of the Obra Dinn, like, you turned me on to that one. Like, your recommendations carry weight now. So if you're telling me that I should play it, like, I'm definitely gonna give it a go. So I mean, if it's on Game Pass, I'll give it a try.
Yeah, and totally, it's on Game Pass, so it's absolutely worth the download. It doesn't have any of the, like, holy fucking shit moments that Obra Dinn did, like. Mm-hmm. Like when you go up to the ship deck for the first time, there's nothing on that level, but but there are moments in Call of the Sea where it's just like, oh, that's disturbing. Okay. Like, and they do the smart thing of leaving a lot up to you to put together, not just puzzle wise, but actually story wise too. Like, they get you 90% of the framework and let you fill in that other 10%. And it's really effective because, nice. You know, like most thrillers, horror movie mysteries, what exists in your imagination is probably better than anything they could have written anyway. So leaving it up to you to fill in those gaps is a good call. But yeah, nice. Check it out. I think you'll like it.
Awesome.
Okay. I think that is a show, gentlemen.
Yay.
And look, Shan, we stayed. Are you happy?
That's awesome. So I have a question for you next week. Are we doing our game of the year? Is that our podcast next week?
No, I think we're going to do it after Christmas. I think. Because I'm not sure what my schedule looks like next week yet. I know we're going to need a chunk of time for that.
Because I think Christmas is on a Saturday, right?
Yeah. So I don't want to put anyone out being like, no, you can't see your families on Sunday. We're recording, damn it.
There's an outbreak. You can't go see your families anyway.
Yeah.
Nod. Yeah.
But I'm sure we will have something next week. It just won't be the game of the year. And then probably the week after, I think we'll strap in for the big one.
I have no idea if I
beat 10 games.
Yeah, I was like, do you think Pokemon made Shannon's top 5?
Probably. He's gonna try to get it in there because it's the expansion that released this year.
Just
Oh, you better be ready for like crazy anime. What was the name of that game? Damn it, I'm blanking on it. But the anime Sudoku game I played.
The Picross one.
Yeah, the Picross one.
Oh, Murder by Numbers.
Yeah, Murder by Numbers. There it is. Thank you. I was blanking hard on that.
I will say that is on my list somewhere.
I love that game. It's so good. It's so fun. Be prepared for some Murder by Numbers. It's coming your way. It's like the most eclectic list ever. It's like Resident Evil 3, Murder by Numbers, Animal Crossing. You know, like, yeah, it's all over the map this year.
Yeah, I was going to say, can we just like wrap it up now and just say Animal Crossing is probably our game of the year?
I don't know if I'd be willing to do that.
Ooh. All
right. It's up there. It's up there, but I don't know if I can give it the number one.
Remember, it's cumulative points, baby. Cumulative points.
Yeah. I just want to see its majority. We're going to round robin that shit into number one.
This is how Robbie lost the Metal Gear 5 argument.
Yeah, this is how Ori got.
Oh, shit.
All right. Justin, you want to take us out? Justin, take us out.
I'll take you out, Shannon.
Oh, thank you. I don't give it up on the first date. I'm just letting you know.
I wouldn't expect you to. I don't date hussies.
I'm a whore. I'm just not a cheap whore.
You know what, guys?
thank you for moving forward. Yes.
Yeah, you're welcome. You know, I knew I saw Zach was uncomfortable, so I pulled the trigger, decided to jump here into the outro. But you know, thank you guys for listening to another fabulous episode of That Pixel Life, which you can do so on Spotify or Apple Podcasts or wherever podcasts are listenable. And if you are listening to us on Apple, you could throw us a review. Let us know what you think. Shannon's been recording his own farts for the past couple weeks, trying to get the soundboard preloaded up with some new noises. You know, if you enjoy content like that and like us, you can go check out the Discord. You know, a lot of fun conversations happen there. The Facebook group is booming. You know, I haven't seen any more header pictures for the Facebook group or anything yet. You still have time to get those in so that when it changes next month, you know, it could be one of yours. Who knows? I know I went to art school, so I know it's hard to beat that. But, you know, Mr. Platinum had a very good one. I did like that bidet life. And, you know, if Robbie were here, Zach, what do you think Robbie would say?
Robbie would say, Zach, you're mean for picking on Justin. But, hey, guys, go be great.